For our scripture reading today, we continue in Mark's gospel account this morning, picking up where we left off last week with chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I have come to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm trying to skip over the sermon to the song. That's all right. No. Nobody spends the day humming the sermon, but here we are. Let's pray. Holy God, speak to us this morning. Speak to us from what has been told from the beginning, your word that is the foundation of the world. Amen. Look a little more at this passage from Mark. Just a little heads up on not just where we are, but where we're headed. 2 weeks from now begins the season of Lent. That means next Sunday is the Sunday traditionally known of as Transfiguration Sunday. When we look at that passage of the Transfiguration of Christ on the mountain, that is in the Gospels. That is the turning point where Jesus kind of sets his eyes on Jerusalem and the cross. So that's the Sunday that's our gateway into Lent, the season of Lent, which begins just 2 Sundays from now. Easter comes early this year, so we don't have a lot of time between Epiphany and Lent. So just enough time to look at this first chapter of Mark that we've been doing for the past couple Sundays. And I want to let you know where we're headed in the season of Lent. We are going to be doing a sermon series on a book in the Bible that is not often preached. If you follow the Revised Common Lectionary, for example, I think it shows up just a couple times over the 3-year cycle, and that is the Book of Lamentations. We're going to be spending each of the 5 Sundays of Lent going through that book. The Book of Lamentations is 5 chapters long. Each chapter is a poem of lament. And so we're going to look at each one of those each Sunday during the season of Lent. It feels appropriate, not just because we're entering the season of Lent, but just because of where we are. We are coming up on just about a year of this pandemic. And I suspect that most of us, all of us, have things to lament and hold before God. This world, I suspect, has things to lament and hold before God. And that is not something that we are typically good at, but it is a profoundly good spiritual practice that shows up throughout the Bible and maybe most notably in this book called Lamentations. So we're gonna be doing that series through through the five Sundays of Lent, leading us to Palm and Passion Sunday, and then to Easter Sunday. I suspect it probably won't be an easy series, but I think it will be good. I think it will be profoundly good, good for us. So that's where we're headed. But right now we are here towards the end of the first chapter of Mark. We continue this morning in this opening chapter of Jesus' public ministry, where things, you may have noticed, things keep happening one after the other, just kind of this moving immediately from here to there, and on and on. And so we begin this morning, as soon as, or it's actually that word we've talked about that Mark loves, immediately after the events in the synagogue that we looked at last week, just a few verses ago. Jesus and these four that he has recently called to follow him, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they leave the synagogue and they go to Simon and Andrew's house, where Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. And they immediately, there's that word again, they immediately tell Jesus about her. And Jesus takes her hand, he raises her up, and the fever leaves her. And then later that evening, more people show up, and there's more healing and casting out of demons that happens there all around this house. These instances of Jesus' power and authority that have shown up here these past couple of weeks, these images of a kingdom that has come near, right? What began with an instance in the synagogue, and now this instance in this home. And then it grows into a pattern, not just isolated events, but a pattern as all who were sick or possessed or brought to Jesus. And the whole city, it says, the whole city gathers around the door. Imagine that, a whole city gathering around the door to your house, the threshold there between the nearness of the kingdom in places of worship, like we saw last week, and now here in this home. Then even in the wider community gathered at the threshold there, the division between where the kingdom is and isn't now becomes thin and even permeable as Jesus cures many who were sick with various diseases and casts out many demons. The kingdom has come. Not in order to just be near in this place or in that place, it has come to be near in all places. And you know this, here, today, right? Yes, Jesus did something amazing just a few verses back in the synagogue. We looked at it last week. Right? A few verses back, Jesus did something amazing back in that kind of place where God's people come together to hear and remember the promises and work of God, and to worship and respond together. And Jesus showed up in that place and did something amazing and powerful. But now, in these verses today, in this kind of place, guess what? Jesus shows up and does something amazing and powerful. And as I read this passage, as I read this passage over the past week and a half or so, I couldn't help but think about us. I can't help but think about all the times that we have gathered here in this kind of place right here, in this kind of place together, gathered to hear and remember and to worship and to respond together. Because we knew that Jesus would meet us and might just do something amazing when God's people gather together in places like this. Amazing and powerful in a place like this. And that is awesome and good. And God willing, we will be back doing that at some point down the line. But now along comes these verses today. They are not in the synagogue anymore. They're not in that place that has been set apart for gathering together in God's name, that special place for hearing and remembering, worshiping and responding. They're in someone's home. An ordinary, everyday home. A home with dishes to be done and laundry to be folded. A home probably with a few too many things taking up space on the dining room table. A place of homework and bedtimes and how was your days. Probably a place of arguments about big, important things and silly little things. And laughter at bad dad jokes and maybe even a little bit of laughter at those silly things you argued about the day before. An ordinary, everyday home, a place that can sometimes feel too big and a little bit lonely, and other times too small and crowded. And also a place that somehow seems to feel just right. An ordinary, everyday home, a place with all those common, everyday frustrations and everyday common joys and all the ordinary things of life that happen in between. It's just Simon and Andrew's home that they wind up in. And Jesus shows up there too and does something amazing. A bit of healing is brought into that house, into that kind of place. And so I can't help but think how our homes are where we have all been spending way more time than normal this past year. And yes, those earlier verses from last week about Jesus at the synagogue and what happened there in that kind of place. And the result, if you remember, was that his fame, it says, his fame began to spread all around town. But here, now, at this house, in that kind of place, in the midst of the ordinary comings and goings of everyday life, and the result here is that suddenly there are all these people. The whole city, it says, was gathered around the door, and many who were sick were cured, and many demons were cast out. Jesus, it seems, can do a whole lot in those ordinary, everyday life kind of places. So let's talk for a minute about that, about what happens, or at least one of the things that happens there in that place. When it happens to Simon's mother-in-law, the one who was sick with a fever, seemingly, by the way, contrast with last week in the synagogue and an unclean spirit that spoke and everything like that, seemingly this is just an ordinary kind of fever. And Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up, the fever leaves her, and she begins to serve them. Which certainly, at least in a way, that can sound kind of bad. No rest for the weary, right? This amazing, miraculous encounter with Jesus. Now get back to work. Get back to what was her culturally dictated place in the home. I know, I'm sure some of you have felt that. You don't even have time to be sick, right? Well, not exactly here. There's something else going on here. In writing about this, Mark uses a very particular word that has appeared. It's appeared once before in this first chapter, and it will show up next down the line in chapter 10. Mark writes, "Then the fever left her, and she began to," and he uses a word, diakone. Fever leaves her, and she begins to diakone. When Mark first used this word, it was back in verse 13, when Jesus, if you remember, the Spirit has driven him out into the wilderness. He's there for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and what says the wild beasts are there, and then it says, and the angels waited on him. It says that they diakonooned him. The angels waited on, they served Jesus. And this word that showed up there with the angels, now shows up with Simon's mother-in-law. Diakoneo is the word. This strange word that might actually have a hint of familiarity if you've been around the church for any length of time, because we have a whole ordained office in the church that is named after this word. This is the word that the title deacon comes from. And you may have picked up, maybe, these past few weeks when I have referenced Jesus' time in the wilderness, and I've used the word ministered when talking about the angels there. That in the wilderness, with everything else going on, there were angels that ministered to Jesus during that time. That's because this is the kind of quote, waiting on or serving that is being talked about here. The angels were deacons to Jesus in the wilderness. They literally deaconed to him. And now here, Jesus reaches out and takes Simon's mother-in-law by the hand, lifts her up, the fever leaves her, she is healed, and she what? She then becomes, herself becomes a deacon. It says that she now deaconed to them. She is healed. Jesus ministers to her in her need, and then she becomes one who then goes on to minister. It's subtle. Throughout the gospel accounts, you may pick this up if you read any of the four. It takes a long time for the guy disciples to get it, to get what it's about, to get what it means to follow Jesus. And this comes to a bit of a head down in chapter 10 when James and John, two of the four who are here in the house with Simon and Andrew and Simon's mother-in-law and Jesus, James and John in chapter 10, they are arguing over who will get to sit in the place of the most honor with Jesus. They want to make sure that when all is said and done, they are in those places where you would expect to be the one who is waited on and served. And Jesus rebukes them. And he makes a statement about himself, about his purpose, and therefore, by implication, what it means to really be a disciple of his. Jesus rebukes them and responds by saying, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." The Son of Man came. Jesus himself came. And you can probably guess now where this is headed, right? This is the very next time, after this episode in Simon's home with his mother-in-law, this is the very next time that this ministering word shows up. Jesus saying emphatically, "I have come to diakoneu. I have come to deacon to you." And so this is who Jesus is for us and for the world. We can begin to get an idea of who we are to be for us and each other in the world, of what being a disciple looks like. Shows up right here, right in the middle of the extraordinarily ordinary kind of place, a home. Simon's mother-in-law is lifted up and healed, and she simply begins there in that place where Jesus has met and ministered to her in her need. She begins in that place. A seemingly ordinary place, but a place nonetheless where the nearness of the kingdom has shown up. And so for us here and now, I suspect we probably need to simply hear this. The kingdom is near. It is near. It is near to you right now, wherever you are. It is near whether we are in this space right here where I stand or that space or in a church or at a home, at an office or in a home office, in a school or in school at home. It is near when we are volunteering at a food pantry or just engaging in the day-to-day life in our neighborhoods and communities, in all our ordinary spaces. The kingdom is near. And there is healing to be found and ministries of healing to be entered into. Sometimes, yes, it is in big and flashy things, and other times, though, it is extraordinary only in its messy ordinariness. But this good news is that the kingdom of God has come near, not just to this place or that place, but to all places, even yours and even mine. So let me acknowledge something else here too, that comes up, and maybe we're taking kind of a hard left turn here, but we're going to turn into it anyway. That is, maybe you've noticed this as well. It is tough to read passages like this one. At least I have found that I can't help but think about how we have here a passage about Jesus miraculously healing this person of a sickness of some kind, and here we are in the middle of this global pandemic that is still raging on, with a lot of people still getting sick. Vaccines are being slowly rolled out, but there are a lot of people still getting sick, and there are way too many that don't get better. I don't know about you, but it's hard to read about Jesus healing this person here when we know that doesn't always happen. I got to be honest. It's hard. It's hard to do two funeral services over the course of a week while thinking on a passage that is about how Jesus healed someone. And while I know most of you don't lead funeral services, I know there are a lot of y'all out there who still know and feel what I'm talking about when you come across passages like these. And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know why that's the case. But I do know it is okay to wonder about it. And it's good to just acknowledge it. Because what I do know is that even so, Jesus is still here, still ministering, and still calling us to respond and join him in places of ministering to others. And that in that, there is still healing of one kind or another to be had. What I do know is that this kingdom that has come near will one day be fully here, and all will be made well. And that in the meantime, this here is what responding to Jesus is like. It's ministering to others, because you know that in some way Jesus has ministered to you. And that there is a kingdom of wholeness and healing and goodness and promise that is near to each and every one of us. And I do know so often that begins simply in the places where we happen to find ourselves. I had a conversation with one of you out there a couple weeks ago who you work a difficult job. It's not a flashy job by any stretch. It is very much an ordinary kind of job, the kind that sees customers coming in and out all day long. And this person was talking about how difficult it has been in these circumstances, because everyone is on edge about with anxiety and things like masks and distances and just the sadness and even the controversy about all these things. And this person was talking about how even in that difficulty, what made the difference for them in dealing with all of that and the day in and day out of their job was that they had realized that they also, there in that ordinary place, that ordinary job, they realized the simple yet profound thing that even that was a chance to minister, to be a minister, a deacon, to those coming in and out, to have an interaction that was maybe just a moment of healing of one kind or another in the midst of a busy day. And I say that's not the goal, the call is not to become a martyr at work or whatever, right? We already have a Savior. But to simply be a minister in His name and out of His ministry to you and to us, if even just in a 1 minute or 30 second interaction that comes tangled up in the comings and goings of ordinary everyday life and errands and those sorts of things. Right? It's almost cliche, but man, that is a kingdom diakoneu kind of vision. To see right where you are and right where others are as a place. No matter how ordinary it seems, as a place, if even only for the briefest of moments, where the kingdom has come near. And this is also, by the way, a big part of why we're changing up, at least for the time being, the structure of the ministry of this church. Why we're in some ways looking to start fresh, maybe even start anew by essentially, I don't know, maybe it's a radical thing, but essentially getting rid of a lot of our separate committees, right? Worship, fellowship, mission, outreach, those sorts of separate committees, and just refocusing through simply a congregational care group and a community care group, right? Because while we are always called to respond to Jesus by reflecting Him and ministering to one another and to others, where we find ourselves now is a very different place than where we were just 12 months ago. Where we are and where others are, it's different than when we were all able to be here, right? And minister from here and out of here and invite others into here. And the needs that need ministering to, both here among us and out there, they are now expressed in many ways in very different ways than they often were just a year ago. And so sometimes the danger is, like Jesus here in this passage, the danger is that we want to try to run and hunt Him down and keep bringing Jesus back to where we were, to where we have known great things to have happened, and where we have seen Him do big things. And here, at least, in this passage, Jesus is just like, no, you know, it's time to minister in new places. I'm not going anywhere, by the way, right? Just so there's no confusion. I don't want to get a bunch of concerned emails, right? I'm not talking about me going anywhere or any of us moving out anywhere, right? I hope those emails would be concerned, right? But Jesus was going to new places. That's what this is about. Jesus is saying, there's other ministries, there's other needs that are not being met that I need to go meet. Jesus is going to new places, and sometimes we can follow Jesus into new places without even changing our address. And that maybe there is healing going on of one kind or another that we might get to be co-ministers in with Jesus. Not by pulling Him back to where we have been, but by following Him forward to where He is and where He is going. That we who know the healing we need and the healing that Jesus promises, and what is needed in this time and these sorts of strange but ordinary places that we find ourselves in, maybe that's the place that we begin. Is really looking around and saying, where are we? And what is Jesus doing here? That's the place we work out from. That's the places where Jesus is already at work, reaching out His hand, lifting up and beginning to heal. And that we too might, in that, become partner deacons with Him in the work of His kingdom that has come near. And so here is a question or two. Or, I don't know, three or four maybe. Where are you? Where are you? And where might Jesus be reaching out His hand to you? Where has he or where might he be lifting you up? Where are the ordinary places? And what are the ordinary things that might just be the extraordinary nearness of the kingdom, inviting you in and inviting you and me and us to reflect Jesus a little more, and to reflect and proclaim his promise to lift up and heal. And maybe, just maybe, maybe in that, Jesus is also at work healing us, healing you, healing me, where we are most feverish and need healing the most. And we find that in that, the kingdom truly has come near. Friends, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. Let us turn and believe the good news. Amen.